Welcome to Freedom Decoded.
We're Demir and Carrie Bentley. We're productivity coaches, lifestyle optimizers, and adventurers who love to experiment with new ways of living and working.
Professionally, we help other people get back in control of their life and get on their path to their ideal life.
You can learn more about what we do at lifehackmethod.com.
And this is the podcast where we let our hair down and give you the peek behind the curtain into our freedom lifestyle.
Demir, hello.
How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Super good, man. We are here now. We're back in the States. We moved from Colombia back here. Beautiful new house, new community. It's amazing. So everybody's happy and we're in a good spot.
Yeah. Awesome, dude. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
I feel like you're one of the only people out there that talks about the connection between productivity and faith. And not just productivity. And in faith, I'm sort of dividing that into two. You talk a lot about the faith in yourself, like having a positive vision for yourself and really having that clear sense of like, I believe in myself, or at least I'm willing to suspend disbelief in service of leaning into my own vision. But also, I don't know if I'm reading between the lines too much. It seems like you're a person of a faith in a higher power too.
Absolutely.
And so I don't know where this could come up in the conversation, but I feel like you're the only person in productivity who talks about that connection between productivity and faith. So if there's anything that I would just love to dig up at some point, it would be like really diving into like, why do you think that's not more of a,
vein I'd love that's to explore been explored? That. And one just thought on that, when I was on Impact Theory the last time, Tom Bilyeu like went deep into this to the point where I got annoyed and I'm like, can we move on? And he's like, no. I'm like, all right. But he basically, the context was, he was trying to understand, cause I think he's an atheist. Right. And so, he was asking like about where you place the faith and how that really matters. And I said, I actually don't know that it matters. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, let's say, for example, you have faith in yourself that you can overcome the thing in front of you or accomplish it. Because of the faith in yourself, you're going to keep doing the things that you need to do to get there. Or let's say you have faith that God will guide you and give you the strength that you needed along your journey. Well, your faith's in God and his ability to help you. So you're going to keep moving. Either way, you're going to move because you have faith in something that if you keep going, you can get there, right? So, yeah. So just a little bit of some context around that.
And
quick question. Have you read the new, or do you know about or read the new edition of The Miracle Morning? Then it's the new one. Yeah. No, the old one was that one right there. So very different.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, let's just start there. What's different about the new version of the book and what made you want to release something new in The Miracle Morning, go back to what is many people consider a classic in the productivity space and add something to it?
There's a couple answers to that. A couple reasons. One is that, you know, if you ever go back, you being any human listening to this, if we go back and look at our prior self, listen to an old audio, watch a video of us, right? You're like, oh my gosh, turn that off. I can't stand the sound of my voice. Or so for me, when I would read the original Miracle Morning book that had sold millions of copies, I'm like, this is terrible. Like if I could do this over again, I would write this so much better. So that was the first thing, is I had always wanted to like make it better, like, you know, right? And I would hope that in the last 15 years of doing the Miracle Morning that I've gotten, you know, more evolved and learned and grown and could apply that to the content of the book. So that was number one. And then number two is the new edition is 70 pages of additional content. So in addition to me making every page better, I added 70 new pages, and that's two new chapters that are 20 pages each. One is The Miracle Evening. It's your strategy for blissful bedtime and better sleep. Because I know people struggle with falling asleep, staying asleep, not letting their mind race at bedtime and think of all the stressful thoughts, right? So I wanted to address that. And so I give this more evening ritual, the Miracle Evening. And then the last chapter in the book is the future of my work. It's called The Miracle Life. And it is your path to inner freedom. And for me, The Miracle Life is like, how can you choose? Almost like if you could rub a magic lamp and a genie came out and was like, I can grant you one wish. It's that you could choose how you experience every moment of your life. even when it's challenging, you could feel grateful, peaceful, excited, optimistic, motivated, right? Like it's the ultimate superpower to choose your optimal mental and emotional state in any given set of circumstances. So those are the two new chapters, and there's 25 new pages in the Savers section, which is the meat, you know, the, the engine that drives the Miracle Morning is that acronym Savers, S-A-V-E-R-S.
It's so funny that you say this because I actually went back and reread the 4-Hour Workweek at a certain point. And I, you know, read it a lot when it first came out. And I was like, this book seems so much better. And what I learned is that he'd gone back and he'd made it
and
better.
Redid it. That's right.
He went back and rewrote it and made it better. And I went back and reread the original version. And I was like, this is a lot better. So kudos to you for not resting on your laurels and actually going back and tightening everything up and adding all of this stuff. I'm sure that people who are listening who haven't, like me, maybe who read it a while ago, but might need a little bit of a primer again, can look forward to something added and you know, taking another pass at it and making it as good as it can be.
And I'll just say that on that real quick, like that was such an important part when I was doing the new edition was this can't just be a, you know, 10-year anniversary with like a little extra content. Like I have to make every part of this book better. And so that was like my obsession was like, I don't want to just make this book better for new readers. I need to make it so that every person that's ever read The Miracle Morning, they can read this new edition and be like, oh my gosh, this is, like you said, this is way better.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd love to play out the part and represent maybe the kind of people out there who are morning routine resistant. Right? Because in truth, I totally am morning routine resistant. And part of the reason is I'm one of those freedom seekers who really bucks at like repetition. And I like to keep things flexible. And yet at the same time, I've got three young kids and I'm just finding that that is forcing structure into my morning. That's forcing me to wake up at a time that maybe I wouldn't have naturally woken up or my clock isn't necessarily wanting to wake up. So how do you react when someone, and I'll play that part right here, but when someone like me says, I'm getting bummed out by the idea of bringing structure and routine to my morning, but you know, obviously they're clearly also interested in it.
Yeah. So the first thing I would say, what came up for me is structure breeds freedom, right? It's someone that doesn't have structure in their lives because they have the illusion that, well, if I don't have structure, then I have freedom. It's like, no, if you don't have structure, you lack freedom. And I'll just give you an example, right? If you don't have structure, like when I was in sales for 6 years selling Cutco cutlery from age 19 to age 25. And I had there was no actual structure. Like I could work whenever I wanted. I could make calls, not make calls. I could do whatever I wanted. And when I was unstructured, I didn't have freedom because I was stressed out all the time. I wasn't earning the income that I wanted. It was only once I realized that if I make 20 calls a day, 5 days a week, from 10 calls in the morning from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., 10 calls in the evening from 7 to 8 a.m., 5 days a week, no matter what, whether I feel like it or not, that was the year that I made my first $100,000 income year, like, you know, when I was in my 20s. And I was like, oh, structure gave me the freedom. And the other beauty of that is when you have the structure, everything outside of that is free. So the beauty of the Miracle Morning is, you know, this is like I almost hate to draw the parallel, but there's that phrase in the army, right? Like we get more done before 8 a.m. than the rest of the world does all day, right? Like that's the Miracle Morning. Like you do your Miracle Morning and you're like, it's only 8 a.m. And I feel like I've read, I've meditated, I've journaled, I've done affirmations, I've visualized, I exercise, like, right, like before the day even starts. And so you start the day with so much momentum, so much motivation, and you're like, all right, I won the morning. I feel ready to go win the rest of the day.
I love that. I'm writing some notes here. Structure breeds freedom. And when you have structure, everything outside of that is free. I've actually done this with a lot of my clients. There's this resistance. It's like, oh, yeah, but the discipline, the structure, it's gonna impinge on my freedom. And you just said it so perfectly. No. This is the vehicle to freedom. And it's funny because I really was in a previous life, the most disorganized person. I mean, which is sort of odd that I've become a productivity coach. My mom still gets unending amounts of entertainment out of the idea that I was the kid who became a productivity coach because I was the most disorganized, the one who didn't want that structure. And so with a lot of empathy, I could tell people, I get it. I get where you're coming from. Like, I totally know that feeling, But what you're trying to grab for, and this is what I hear you saying, that freedom you're trying to grab more and more for, it's actually pulling you further away from the feeling that you're trying to get.
Yep. No, it's true. I mean, anyone that has financial freedom, they had structure in their life to get it. You know, anyone that's got, that has that's very fit, right? With a physique that they, they feel great when they look in the mirror. That's because they had structure. They had structure around their diet. They had structure around their working out. And now they have freedom to be financially fit and feel good, you know, and take their shirt off at the beach and whatever. Right. And it's having structure in the areas that matter most, right? Yeah. A great example too is like, imagine having a structured, part of your weekly routine. And then again, the rest of it is like, I'm done at, working at 4 p.m. And then I can do whatever I want all night and whatever I want on the weekend. You know what I mean? Like you have so much freedom, but someone that just has free, they're like all freedom. Life is really stressful, right? Like, life becomes really stressful. So it's like everything in excess can become its opposite.
There's that phrase, I think Kate Moss said, there's nothing that tastes as good as skinny feels, but you gotta get there and you gotta know it. And so I can imagine over the years that you've been writing this book and promoting this book and doing talks, you must've heard some incredible transformational stories, right? People who were, say, for example, more my type, who maybe said to you, oh, never, never, never in a million years, who then became almost extremely the opposite way. Would you mind sharing like some of the, success stories that you've heard of people? Because I tend to find that people who are extreme are just extreme, right? So even if you're extremely disorganized, you actually have inside of you the possibility to be extremely organized.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I'm the first, I wasn't a morning person. When I started the Miracle Morning, it was just like, I need to, start my day in an optimal way so that I can take the rest of my days on that way. And I think some of my favorite stories are from the Miracle Morning movie, right? We filmed a documentary over the course of 6 years, and we featured some extraordinary, ordinary people that had extraordinary transformations as part of the film. And then we have a bunch of influencers like Mel Robbins and Lewis Howes and, Robert Kiyosaki and Robin Sharma and all these people in their morning routines. But with the quote unquote ordinary folks, and I hesitate to call anybody ordinary, I think everyone's extraordinary, but, some of those stories, Michael Eaton was one of them. And he's become a friend of mine. In fact, most of these people have now become friends of mine since doing the movie together. But it started out, they just bought the book, read the book, and Michael Eaton was 80 pounds overweight. So he was clinically obese, and he had been obese his entire life. In fact, there's a scene in the movie that one of his friends filmed on their smartphone where he does a belly flop off a 40-foot cliff to try to entertain the kids around him because he was so desperate for attention. And it was just, it breaks your heart to watch this high school kid seeking attention and in putting himself at risk. He could have died. The Miracle Morning wasn't a dieting book, but it's designed to help you get clear on your number one goal and then focus these six practices of the Miracle Morning on amplifying your ability to achieve that goal. His goal that he applied towards his Miracle Morning toward was to lose weight. And he lost 80 pounds in a matter of months. I can't remember. It was, it was like 4 months, 3 months, something like that, a short amount of time, he lost all that weight. And now he's applied his Miracle Morning to pursue his stand-up comedy career. And it's taking off. He's performing at comedy clubs all over the country. And that's been his dream for a long time. So that's one. And then there was a gal who she lives in Kenya, single mother. She went blind and lost her eyesight, and then her husband left her. And she discovered the Miracle Morning when Googling ways to turn her life around. And the Miracle Morning enabled her to achieve her dream of becoming an author and a professional speaker and sharing her story now to impact other people and being able to support her sons. And I could go on and on about, there's story after story. I mean, if you go, that was someone else. But there's over 30,000 reviews on Amazon for the book, 4.6 out of 5 stars. And I say that just to say, you can go read dozens or hundreds of the stories of people that like it really transformed their life in profound ways. And the last thing I want to say on this, Demir, is it's universal. Whatever you apply your Miracle Morning toward, that's what it helps you accomplish. When I started the Miracle Morning, it wasn't called that. It wasn't a book idea. It was, I need to have a morning personal development routine. I'm going to figure out what the world's most successful people do for their personal development so that I can develop myself into the person I need to be to create the success I want in my life. Within 2 months of doing the morning routine, I more than doubled my income at the height of the 2008 Great Recession. When the economy was the worst, I doubled my income. And I went to my wife in the hallway and I said, sweetheart, you'll never believe this. I signed on 2 more coaching clients today. And she interrupted me and goes, great. I go, no. That's not the moral of the story. We've officially doubled our income in the last 2 months because of this morning routine. And it feels like a miracle. And without hesitation, she goes, it's your miracle morning. I go, I like that miracle morning. And I started putting my schedule every day, but it wasn't I didn't know it'd be a book. And then eventually I shared it with others. It worked for them. And it became a book. But the point is, you know, my friend, Mike Eaton, focused his on losing 80 pounds. This gal from Kenya, she focused it on launching her dream of being an author and a speaker. I focused initially on doubling my income. Then I focused on running an ultra marathon. Then I focused it on beating cancer. Like whatever you focus your miracle morning on, it amplifies your ability to accomplish those goals.
I believe it. I believe that whenever we take a simple but powerful tool and just apply a ton of intention and direct that somewhere, we can create miracles, as you say in your books.
Unwavering faith plus extraordinary effort is how you create tangible, measurable miracles.
Totally true. I read that and I was like, so true. I thought about our own journey and how we created our lifestyle and did the stuff that we did in our life. And I thought, a lot of what you were writing in the book, I was like, that's sort of how we did it. He put it in a format that really lays it out super clear. But actually, now that I look back and reconstruct, like, what were we doing? That's basically what it was. So let me pivot a little bit. Carrie and I we think about ourselves like systems integrators, meaning, you know, if you're like a researcher, we're more like a clinician, right? So we're not focused on writing new books or getting into that stuff. We're really just focused on, you know, taking the best information out there and trying to see if we can actually put that to work in clients' lives and get that, you know, that implementation where they can actually make it work. One of the things that I've seen that I know you wouldn't necessarily support, but maybe you would, I don't know, I've got you here, so I'm going to ask you, is I'll have people working the miracle morning, but they're staying up super late, wasting a ton of time on social media or movies that call it, I think people have been calling it revenge procrastination, right? So they were good boys and good girls all day long. The kids finally go to sleep. They get this moment of freedom or free time. Yeah. They way overindulge in it, kill their sleep. And then they're trying to get themselves up at like 4:30 in the morning to do miracle morning and do a run. Yeah. And I say to them often, I don't think this is what hell Elrond would suggest that you do. So now we have you here and I can ask you, how do you, when you, and you must have seen this, how do you talk to people about how your evening and how you wind it up in the evening really impacts your morning?
Yeah. So I've always said, even in the first edition of the Miracle Morning book, it was a miracle morning starts the night before. Mm-hmm. But I was not really talking about an evening ritual. I was talking about your intentions before you go to bed. So I have in the book, I share what I call my bedtime affirmations, which are so important because our last thought as we're falling asleep is almost always the first thought that enters our consciousness when we wake up. And I use the example of like, if you ever celebrated Christmas as a kid, and if you didn't celebrate Christmas, think about like your first day of school or catching an early flight for vacation. When I was a kid on Christmas, I went to bed like, oh my gosh, tomorrow's Christmas. As soon as I wake up, I'm going to run in the living room. I'm going to see presents, right? And I was excited to wake up in the morning, and it didn't matter if I didn't sleep well or I went to bed late, right? And so as soon as my eyes opened in the morning, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Christmas. So the last thought
out of bed.
Yeah. And I realized that we can recreate that experience every day. However, most people don't go to bed excited to wake up the next morning. They go to bed thinking about their problems, thinking about their things that are causing them stress. That not only does that affect their mental and emotional state in the moment, it affects their quality of sleep, on and on and on. And so with the new edition of The Miracle Morning, for those who don't know, I wrote a new edition with 70 new pages of content that I published in December. We did talk about that. I have brain damage for anyone that doesn't know that, so my memory is not the best. But there, that chapter, The Miracle Evening, it was like, okay, I finally doubled down on, I need to study what the importance of an evening ritual. And I need to try, I'm going to try integrating that in my life and see how that works. And that's been transformative for me. So I put it in the book. So to directly answer your question around, like, you know, how do I feel about like staying up late, binge watching TV? I just think that no judgment, you do you, but to be effective, consistency is so important because your body gets programmed by your behavior. So if you go to bed at the same time every night, right, then your body is like, oh, it's approaching 9:30 p.m. or 10 p.m. or whatever. It's time to wind down. If you're all out of whack and you're overstimulating yourself in the evening and you're going to bed one night at midnight, one night at 10, one night, right, your body doesn't know what to do. And so going to bed at the same time every night and waking up at the same time every night, when I say every night, I mean, you know, I go to concerts with my wife sometimes, you know, occasionally we're up late, probably once every couple of weeks, but let's say 6 out of 7 nights, going to bed at the same time and waking up at the same time programs your body. And so then, and your mind and your nervous system. And so you're going to be far more effective. You're going to feel much better. You're going to get higher quality sleep and not be, you know, burning the candle at both ends, if you will.
For sure. I mean, one of the things that I do is I let myself wake up naturally. And people say, oh, how can you do that? And it's like, well, I'm in bed by 8 and I'm asleep by 8:30. So, you know, waking up at, you know, sometimes I'll wake up at 4:30. It's not frequent, but I'm always up by 5:30 or 6 naturally. And
yeah,
part of the reason is because my body has received all of the sleep that it needs, right? There's no need for any more sleep. So it's funny too, because I always ask my clients one of the things that we do is we do 2 weeks of time and energy tracking. And there's something about that device of having a person go back and look at really how they allocated their time. I can tell you so many people will look, their shame, their guilt, their regret is always around the way that they spent their time after like 9 p.m.
Yeah. Right?
You know, because they just know if I had time shifted that into the morning, I'm a better version of me in the morning.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I don't want to do more journaling at like 10 p.m., but in the morning, hey, I'm fresh for it. Yeah, let's do it.
In the evening, we're fatigued, period. We're mentally, physically, and emotionally fatigued in the evening. And that's not to say that there is no value. I mean, sometimes my best ideas actually come as I'm falling asleep at night, right? There's something about that time, but usually it's not our most productive time because, again, we are fatigued. And so one of my favorite examples of this is Pat Flynn. Pat Flynn is a, you know, 7-figure entrepreneur, Wall Street Journal bestselling author, very successful, but he's also family first. In fact, he taught me that, hey, I get offered a lot of opportunities, but if it takes me away from my kids, I only have them for so long. So it's an easy no. So he's really inspired me to try to follow that. Anyway, so before I knew Pat, I knew him from afar from listening to his podcast and admiring him and go like, that's the kind of guy I want, you know, family first, fitness is up there, right? And when I was on his show, he essentially started the interview by saying, Hal, I'm not a morning person. I wake up when my kids come and shake, you know, I have really small children, young children. They wake me up, daddy, daddy, wake up. I thought, well, that's endearing. How am I going to change that? And he said, I do my best work at night. And I go, okay. And this guy's already running marathon successful. So I'm like, how am I going to change his mind? So I just shared the miracle morning and my journey and how it had transformed my life and some other people. And why, you know, I think the main thing I said, shared is, Pat, how you start your day sets the tone, the context, and the direction for the rest of your day. So if you're starting your day without intention, meaning, yes, I love that your kids are waking you up, right? That's sweet, but now you're reactive for the rest of the day. And that's how most of us start our day. We pick up our smartphone and we are in a state of reactivity. We're reacting to notifications, to emails, to text messages. And instead of being proactive or creative, we are reactive all day long. And so at the end of the interview, he goes, Hal, I think, you know, I never thought of morning, the correlation between morning and productivity. I think I might be missing out on a level of productivity that I'm not accessing right now by not starting my day with intention before my kids wake up. And so he said, I'm going to try it for 30 days. And now he's, you know, he's in the Miracle Morning movie. He's like a lifetime Miracle Morning practitioner. And he said that when he started doing the Miracle Morning and shifting from his productivity being in the evening to the morning, it increased his productivity by, I think he said 40%. Don't quote me, it might be higher or a little bit lower, but I think it was 40%. So that's an example of someone that, like, you know, It's like, look, at the end of the day, you have decision fatigue, you have physical fatigue, you have mental fatigue, emotional fatigue. In the morning, you are fresh. And that is that blank canvas. And you can get those most important personal development activities done before the rest of the day hits you.
Absolutely. You know, what's funny is, one of the things I talk to my clients is about time shift. You know, I think we have, at least I had this idea that somehow I was supposed to do all the stuff with the family. And then I was supposed to put on a smoking jacket and sit next to the fireplace with a dog at my feet, you know, reading like War and Peace, some kind of really dense, intense sort of thing, and have like a really stimulating conversation with my wife. And I don't know if it's just me, but most of my clients have said, yeah, no, I can't do that at night. And so I've always just sort of said, what if we just took that 3 hours that you're staying between like 8 and like 11?
Yeah.
You know, just isn't high quality time. Yeah. What if you just sub that into your morning?
That's
what
it.
If you just push it? I mean, it's really, you're not making new blocks of time. You're just trading off. You're trading a worse version of yourself for a better version of yourself, and not just worse or better as it relates to other people receiving you. Cause definitely my wife likes me better in the morning than she does in the evening. I'm a better conversationalist, but also just your experience of your life. You know, like you experience yourself as being happier, more willing to engage in conversation, like a good quality conversation with your wife, or read a book. I don't know about you. I can't read dense things late at night. It's just, too much. I'm too wiped out.
So for me in the evening, the reading, well, let me say first to your point about swapping the time. That's what I often will say to people is like, look, a miracle morning doesn't mean you're sleeping less. It means that, I'm imagining that the last, hour of your night, right, when you're watching Netflix or whatever, not the most productive. So swap that hour for the morning. And the miracle morning is totally customizable. It doesn't have to be an hour. It could be, 30 minutes. It could be, there's a chapter in the book called the 6-minute miracle morning. And that's not hyperbole. It's literally like, imagine. So for those that are like, I don't have time for this. I can't do this. I'm not a morning person. Imagine if all you did was wake up 10 minutes earlier, go sit in your living room or in a chair, comfy couch chair. And you set your timer for 60 seconds and you hit start, and you did the S in Savers, which stands for silence. And you took some deep breaths, maybe a little meditation, quiet your mind, maybe a little prayer for 60 seconds. And the timer goes off and hopefully you have the volume low so it doesn't startle you too much. And then you go to the A in Savers, which are affirmations. And the way I teach affirmations in the book are different than you probably are used to them. But you pull out your affirmations and you have three, there's three steps there. Number one is, what are you committed to in your life? What are the most important outcomes, habits that you're committed to? Then number two, why is that a must for you? Why is it meaningful? Why is it so important? And then number three, which actions are you going to take and when are you going to take them to ensure you follow through? And it only takes you 60 seconds to read through that, but now you are refocused on the most important commitments in your life, why they are so meaningful to you, and what you're going to do today to ensure you achieve them. Then you go into 60 seconds of visualization, right? And on down the line, 60 seconds of exercise. You don't have to go to the gym, but do 60 seconds of jumping jacks and watch your level of physical and mental energy go from a 2 after you just woke up, that brain fog, to like, now you're like, okay, I'm awake. Let's go. Now you're like a 7, right? So 6 minutes is all it takes to do a miracle morning. And I don't recommend that you limit it to 6 minutes. You're going to find that I want more time to meditate and more time to journal and more time to exercise, right? But literally you can start there and build on it.
Man, I love this. It's so interesting because when I was reading through it, and again, this has been such a treat knowing that I was going to interview you, because it gave me just such a great reason to go back and read the new version of the book. Everybody who's watching, get the new version. It's worth it. I got a chance to read it. But what was interesting is I actually realized how much had stuck from the first time I had read it. And because I think if you'd asked me before I read it, I would have said, I'm not really doing a miracle morning anymore. I've sort of cycled off of that, but actually, one of the practices I have with my wife that we just think is sort of fun and funny is, in that, morning vibe that you have in the morning, you're not necessarily in that exact moment that you wake up, maybe the best version of yourself, but a lot of times the first words out of our mouth, we want to do 3 gratitudes, very first words out of the mouth, 3 gratitudes.
Wow.
And recognizing and tying that back, I was like, I got that from Miracle Morning the first time, right? Nice. And I'm still doing it, even though that's maybe awesome. I'm thinking, oh, I'm not on a program for Miracle Morning. I was like, well, I actually still am. I wasn't a morning person the first time I read it. But since then, I've really become more and more and more of a morning person. And as you said, with the time shifting, I started to see my mornings as what I call luxury mornings. Right. Mm. And Jeff Bezos inspired me here. It was like, if Jeff Bezos doesn't go into work till 10 and he gives himself the luxury of a slow start in the morning, I'm like, I'm going to give myself that, man. I know I might not be a billionaire, but I'm going to give myself that. And I realized, I was like, wow, I'm taking silence, right? I read something called a life map, which is it's got a very clear vision of where I want to be and the steps that I need to take to get there over a cup of coffee without any distractions or social media. And it really hit me. I was like, wow, you know, so much of the Miracle Morning did stick. And to a That's point where cool. I almost, it just became
part of just who you are. Yeah.
Part of who I do. And I feel guilty saying this, but if you asked me, oh, how do you do your morning? I probably would just, well, it's like this, but really going back and connecting, I was like, the first time that I got keyed into that was the first time that I read the Miracle Morning. So
that's cool.
Big gratitude on that.
I love that because, I mean, for me, like, there is no fixed way to do the Miracle Morning. It's about waking up earlier than you have to, right? Meaning most people wake up at the last possible minute, you know, so they can go get ready for work, head out the door. And like I said, they're reactive all day long. Miracle Morning is like, okay, I'm going to, you know, I have to be up getting ready for work by 7. So I'm going to get up at 6:30 and have that luxury 30-minute morning, right? Maybe you don't have the 3-hour morning. Maybe it's 30 minutes, right? But it's that self-care. It's that time for yourself. It's that cliche analogy of putting the oxygen mask on first. But the point is, you can completely cut. There's a whole chapter in the book on customizing your Miracle Morning to fit your lifestyle. So I always say, hey, I encourage everybody to start with the savers and do the 30-day challenge. In the new book, I call it the 30-day journey, right? But do your 30-day Miracle Morning journey. Do all 6 practices. Because if you don't, without the structure of doing all 6, you don't know which ones you love and which ones you don't care for and which ones you're going to change and which ones you're going to make a little longer and some a little shorter and move them around and start with E instead of S, right? Like, so you start with that structure, and then from that structure will come the freedom to customize your mornings to fit your aspirations and your preferences.
Yeah, it's funny. I want to key into one of the things that you said. One of the things that I find is the modern world that we live in is so good at getting you into fight or flight mode. There's really nothing better or worse, however you want to think about it, at getting you anchored into fight or flight mode than waking up just a bit late, like 1 minute late on everything in the morning, waking up a minute late, getting out of the shower a minute late, getting in the car a minute late. It might just be a minute, but the effect of getting you deep into that like fight or flight sort of panic mode. Now you come into work and you're just deep in that sort of reactive, panicky sort of space. And God, turning that boat around once you've gotten it sailing in that direction, so hard.
I mean, it goes back to the simple how you start your day sets the direction for the rest, the tone, the context, and the direction for the rest of your day. And if you have a rushed, reactive morning, that's just how you start. And most people, that's how they live their life, right? They're in that state all day long, but with that calm, peaceful, productive, creative, self-care oriented morning, it's like a deep breath for your soul and your mind and your body that then carries you through the rest of the day in an optimal way.
For sure. Now I can't help but ask this. You know, do you do any biohacking strategies personally, or do you see other people doing that really enhance the effectiveness of the Miracle Morning? And by biohacking, it doesn't have to be like taking, you know, some shot or something like that, but just, do you find that, like, you know, anything from caffeine all the way up to, you know, supplements, do you find that there's anything that personally or through experience you've seen does help people get to the place that they really want to be?
Yeah, it's funny you ask this because I just got booked to be the opening keynote speaker at Dave Asprey's biohacking conference. So I've been thinking about this like nonstop. It's been on my mind a lot. The first thing I'll say is I think that a morning routine, Miracle Morning or whatever you want to call yours. I think it's one of the most important biohacks, right? Because again, you're starting your day in a peak physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual state. So that is the fundamental foundational start to the day biohack. Beyond that, I mean, I drink caffeine. That's a part of my Miracle Morning. I hydrate first. First thing I do is I drink a full glass of water, because most of us don't think about this, but we've been dehydrating for 8 hours or 7 hours while we're sleeping, right? We didn't get hydration. Plus, we expel, I forgot how much, you know, it's a lot of through perspiration while we're sleeping in water vapor, we lose a lot of water. So we wake up kind of dehydrated. And so the first thing we got to do is not reach for coffee, because that's a diuretic that further dehydrates you. So I turn off my alarm and I just start pounding water, a little bit of sea salt and Himalayan sea salt and lemon for a, you know, bonus. I don't always do that, but that's ideal. And then once I've drinking the water, then I'll drink the coffee. And then for me, you know, I take a lot of supplements, all of that, but I will say this, I believe that God or you could just say the earth gave us everything that we need to biohack, right? So for example, you could buy a red light therapy device for $1,000 or so, or you could stand in the sunlight in the early hours of the morning when the infrared rays, the red light, you know, that red light puts off, are the highest, right? So that I'm looking at where I, in my grass, that's where I stand in the morning when I'm in between my house is right there and my office is right here. It's like a little 20-foot walk. And on that walk, I stand and I do my, you know, usually about 5 or 10 minutes of sunlight and rounding, which you could buy a PEMF machine for $5,000, or there's cheaper ones, right? Pulse electromagnetic frequency, or you could stand on the ground barefoot, right? So again, the earth or God, whatever you believe in, gave us everything that we need to biohack. You could buy an EWOT exercise with oxygen therapy mask and bag that you fill with oxygen to hyperoxygenate yourself, or you could do breath work, right? So anyway, I think the Miracle Morning is the foundational biohack. And then within that, all these machines are great because all of us want the shortcut. We want the pill, want to flip the switch, want the easy route. But I'm telling you, spend time in sunlight, spend time on the ground, get oxygen, move your body. And I think that is the optimal biohacking, you know, with no side effects.
I love that you're saying this because, you know, my trainer said something to me when I started training with him that I'll never forget. You know, I came in, I'd been detrained. I hadn't been working out forever. And I was like, well, I was talking about supplements. Oh, what about this supplement? And maybe I can do this. And how much protein? He was like, man, you're talking to like level 8 issues. You're at like level 0. Like, let's move through from level 0 all the way through level 7. Then I'm happy to talk to you about this like level 8 stuff. But ultimately, he's like, at this level, are you getting to the gym enough? Are you moving weights around? Are you getting enough water? Are you sleeping enough and recovering during your sleep? I mean, these are the issues that really matter at this level. Yeah. And so many times we're obsessed about like level 2 or 3 stuff when we haven't even passed through level 1. And it's like, are you sleeping enough? Are you getting water? Are you doing some grounding? Are you doing some breath work? It's like, this stuff is free. It's available to you. It's not time consuming. And it actually has a huge, huge impact.
Yeah, no, it's true. Like I said, I'm trying to think, what are some of the, like, I've bought devices before and I've returned them because I'm like, people were fine. Like, could this give me a little booster edge? Maybe, but people have functioned optimally and, you know, achieved extraordinary results in their lives long before all this shit was invented. Pardon my French, right? Like, it's the basics. In fact, I'm going to share there's a parallel here. I don't know if you've ever heard of Rene Rodriguez. He wrote the book Amplify Your Influence, and he and I have become friends. And he said something that I had never heard before, and I didn't get what he meant at first. And then he explained it, and he said, "Hal, life's greatest wisdom is found in cliches." And I went, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, what's a cliche? It's a piece of wisdom that was so true, so accurate, that it was repeated over and over and over and over and over to the point where people discount it. They go, no, no, I've heard that before. You know, believe in yourself. Yeah, yeah, no, 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 no. I need the newest app. Is there an app for the thing I want to do? Is there a biohack? Is there a new book? Is there a cutting edge program? Because that old thing, I dismiss the old, right? We dismiss the tried and true when, you know, that's it. The basics are the keys to success. It's not the new. We've been conditioned to think it's the new. In fact, I'll say the last thing on this. When I was looking for, in 2008, economy crashed. I crashed with it. I'm a mess. I don't know what to do. A friend of mine says, listen to this Jim Rohn audio. Jim Rohn said, your level of success will seldom exceed your level of personal development because success is something you attract by the person you become. And the light bulb went off and I went, I need a level. If I want to become a level 10 on a scale of 1 to 10, if I want level 10 success in my life in every area, I've got to develop myself every day into a level 10 person, level 10 version of me. So I'm going to figure out what the world's most successful people do for their personal development. And I'm going to do that. And I had a list of 6 practices, but none of them were new. So I'm like, no, no, meditation can't be it. It can't be affirmations. Those are goofy. Stuart Smalley used to make fun of those on Saturday Night Live. And those are so cheesy. Visualization. Like, I don't want to make a vision board. I don't think so. Exercise. Oh, yeah, of course I should exercise. So I'm going to dismiss it. Reading. I mean, I've got like 20 books on the shelf that I haven't gotten through any of them. But, you know, I've got books. Journaling. Right. So I almost threw it out the window because I'm like, none of these are what I need. These are like 1,000-year-old practices. And then I went, wait a minute. What if instead of dismissing these because I've heard of them and I've tried them all, but never stuck with them, what if I did all of them every single day to start my day? What if I did the 6 most timeless, proven personal development practices that the world's most successful people in all walks of life have attributed their success to for centuries? Maybe there'd be some merit to that approach, right? It wasn't a new course online. It was just like, these are what the world's most successful people do. Let's do that. And oh my gosh, it worked.
Well, that phrase, I think it's John Wooden, and I'm probably misquoting it, but pros do the basics better. They're not doing some crazy newfangled thing. It's like, listen, basketball is pretty simple. The difference between the NBA and high school, same rules, same game, same ball, same number of teammates. It's the same game, effectively. Yep. So what's the difference? They do every part of that game better. Yep. And more consistency.
It's Michael Jordan shooting, having to make 1,000 free throws before he went in for the night every day when he was in high. Like, yeah, you think you're going to get pretty good at shooting? Like, work out the kinks in your shot if you do the basics over and over and over again, you know? Yeah, no, it's
funny.
So
this sort of stumbles onto the reason we wrote a book, because we don't really see ourselves as authors. And so that's not really what we're called here to do. But we did a survey of 5,000 people who manage between 5 and 50 people. And we asked them what they thought the key to winning their week was. And it was like 94, 96% in the top 3 was planning your week. So we followed up and did a second follow up to the same people. We said, okay, if planning your week is so fundamental and so important, how many have you done it 4 out of 4 of the last 4 weeks? And less than 1% of people had planned their week 4 out of 4 of the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Which just goes to show the glaring chasm between things we already know we should be doing, but aren't doing, and the value and the opportunity of being like, oh, maybe I should get a morning routine going. Oh, but that's old. I've heard about that. That was, you know, last year, last decade, whatever. And it's like, yeah, but maybe it still works no matter how old it is. Maybe this is the year, this is the day, this is the week that it's time to recommit to something like that.
Totally agree. And for myself, this morning, what was it? Oh, I often talk about something, a self-imposed rule that I have, that I have to read a parenting book or a marriage book before I read a business book. And I talk about that. I've been talking about that ever since I started doing it years ago. And then this morning, I got up And I've got a parenting book there called Untangled. It's for teenage daughters, which I have teenage daughter, and I have a business book. And I pick up my business book and I just start reading it. And I was like, wait a minute. I'm not doing the, I'm totally out of integrity right now. I just put my hand right past the parenting book, even though so it's interesting because I'm inviting us all to consider this. Our identity is powerful, but sometimes it can be to our detriment because it can be like, well, I tell people that I, like when I got cancer, I'm like, I'm such a healthy eater. That's my identity, is I'm a healthy eater. But if I actually, like you said, you have your clients track their time, because they might think, well, no, I'm a productive person. I'm an organized person. I plan my week. That's how you become successful. But when you actually get really honest with yourself, I'm like, wait, out of the last 30 days, I maybe read the parenting book first 4 days. I'm out of integrity. I'm not doing the things that got me to the dance, right? Like I've drifted. So for all of us, right, you might think I've got a good morning routine, right? But is it, maybe you have none. Maybe you have like really evaluating how you are living and behaviors that are either producing the results you want and contributing to that or not, I think is so important.
I'd love to pay a compliment here on the book. Whenever I review a book, I give it what I call a zombie score, right? Which is like a really great book is so convincing about its topic that it doesn't just teach you how to do the thing. It actually turns you sort of into a zombie where once you finish, you're like, I've got to do this thing. And you're just like, let's go. Let's go right now. And I think this book has a really great zombie score in the sense that a book isn't just about telling you how to do things, because there's a lot of books and there's a lot of videos online that can tell you how to do something. I think a great book, what I secretly think people are looking for from a great book, is that they want to be convinced. Yeah. Nobody's going to pick up The Miracle Morning if there's not a part of them that isn't already morning routine curious, right?
Yeah.
What they really want is they want to be convinced, right? They want to put down that book and say, let's get going. And I think it really succeeds at that.
Well, I appreciate that. And I will tell you, that was my biggest fear, insecurity, and obsession is, how am I going to convince someone that has believed their entire life that they are not a quote morning person, end quote, right? How am I going to convince them in a book to actually do it? Like, I could convince them that it's a good idea, that it would benefit them, but how am I going to hold their hand as if I were there going, hey, look, I know you don't want to get up any earlier. I know you're not a morning person. I know you like to sleep into the last minute, but I'm going to, right? Like, and so that entire book, it took me 3 years to get to that point, which is like, how do I hold someone's hand from, I hate mornings, I'm not a morning, I've never been a morning person, to, okay, this totally makes sense, I should be a morning person, to, I actually want to be a morning person, to, you know what, I'm actually excited to commit to this for 30 days and I can't wait to try it and see what happens. Let's go. We're starting tomorrow, or we're starting tonight with the alarm clock across the room, right? Like, so yeah, that for me was such an emotional journey to take somebody on from idea to resistance to actually executing it. So yeah, I appreciate that it seems to have been able to do it effectively.
It succeeded. Well, I just want to thank you for your time. And I do want to open some space if there's anything else that you want to talk about. But before you do, I just want to tell a lot of the people who are going to be in our audience, as we come around to the end of the year, a big topic that we talk to our audience about a lot is this idea of getting reflective. Right. Mm-hmm. And doing an annual planning, which we lead a lot of our people in, but people do it naturally themselves too. There's just a natural moment at the end of the year where people get reflective. They start to ask themselves, how did I do this year? What did I like? What did I not like? What do I want to do more of last year? I think this is a really good moment to do that reflection, but also to ask yourself if a really simple and easy optimization in your life is to look at the quality of the last 3 hours that you're awake and the quality of the first 3 hours, and ask yourself if just by switching those, and powered by The Miracle Morning, which is just such a very clear, very direct, lay it out in front of you methodology that does have a lot of room for customization. Like, is that not maybe that low hanging fruit that you can take, that you can look at? Because a lot of my clients are like, there's this new app. Oh, this new app came out. Demir, this could really be the thing. It's like, I don't think so. I think something like taking a look at your evening hours, switching those low quality evening hours for higher quality morning hours, implementing a really solid morning routine. There's no better one. Everybody knows the best one is the miracle morning. There's not even a second place.
Right? I won't argue with you on that. Yeah.
There really isn't. It's not like there's like a second, third, and fourth place when it comes to that. It really is the miracle morning. So, you know, maybe this is the moment to take a look at that, because that really is such a powerful low-hanging fruit. And with that, I'll invite you, if you have any final thoughts, to close it out. Otherwise, we can end it right there.
I'll close with a final thought, but I do want to mention, you mentioned like there's the app. There actually is a Miracle Morning app now, right? So it's funny that, like, you know, you're like, I want the newest app. But whether it's the book or the app, right? The app is for people. That's been their biggest request for years. Like, Hal, I read the Miracle Morning. I do the Miracle Morning, you know, 5-6 days a week, but I use 6 apps. I have a meditation app, an affirmations app, a visualization app. You know, I use the 7-minute workout for exercise. I've got my Kindle for reading. I've got a journaling app. You know, we want, like, can you make all of that in one? And so that, just for those that are app users, the Miracle Morning app is kind of the all-in-one, one-stop shop. But here's what I want to say. Here's what I'd love to close with, is that wherever you are at in your life right now, if you're listening to this, wherever you are at right now, it is temporary, okay? And I think I'm speaking more to people that aren't where you want to be, right? Where life is stressful. And right now we are in a really challenging time collectively as a global society. In fact, I'd say for the last 4 years, it's been quite the roller coaster, if you will. And I believe, and I'm inviting you to consider this for yourself, that the greatest gift you can give to yourself, as well as the people that you love and the people that you lead, is to draw your line in the sand and commit to fulfilling your potential, to giving your best from this day forward. That was the miracle morning for me. It's like, I'm no longer willing to settle for struggling financially and being out of shape physically and not being happy and being so stressed out and my mental health. So like, I can't do it anymore. And the miracle morning was my thing that enabled me to turn it around so fast. It felt like a miracle. So wherever you are right now, take a deep breath and go, okay, this is where I am. I'm at peace with it. I'm not going to hate it. I'm not going to resist it, because that causes emotional turmoil that makes it harder for you to get out of that space to move forward. You've got to get a place of peace, and peace is realized through total acceptance of your current reality. This is who you are. This is where you are. This is what you weigh. These are your financial circumstances. Be at peace with that. Be at peace with where you are, and now go, okay, this is where I am. I want to get better. I want to improve. I want to go to the next level, whatever that looks like. And decide that, okay, today's the day, or tomorrow's the morning. I'm going to wake up a little bit earlier than I have to, and I'm going to dedicate time to my morning, to learning, growing, evolving. And it could be as simple as waking up 20 minutes earlier and reading something. It could be waking up and doing the miracle morning. You know, I mean, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. It could be waking up and doing anything that helps to put you in a positive mindset so that you can become a better version of the person that went to bed the night before. And if you do that day after day after day, then this moment that you just got peaceful with your present circumstances, you can look back as like, hey, that was the moment that I allowed myself to be at peace with where I was. And that created space to generate excitement and optimism and enthusiasm to one day, one morning at a time, move in the direction of where I wanted to go. And so you can get there. I know you can. And it all starts today.
And that is Hal Elrod. Thank you so much for being with us, Hal. Really appreciate your time today. And gang, if you haven't got it, get the book. If you already read it, check out the new version.